From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Now a story about a young man who has succeeded against the odds. His name is Jesse Jean, and we first met him on this program when he was a teenager. He was failing 10th grade, and his future looked bleak. That was when two women assigned to tutor him arranged for a scholarship to a boarding school. They told him that was his only hope to get through high school. He went in 2001, and he hated it.
It was everything different, none that I knew. Waking up early, your day is pretty much scheduled. You have to do what they say you have to do. I ain't used to people telling me what to do, so naturally I had a problem with that.
Still, Jesse Jean stuck with it, and his tutors stuck with him. One became his legal guardian, and this summer he graduated from college. Independent producer Katie Davis has known Jesse since he was 12 years old. She brings us up to date on his story.
Ask Jesse to see his college diploma, and he climbs up to the third floor of the house he now shares with his old tutor in Alexandria, Virginia. He keeps it in an antique trunk in his room.
This is what $40,000 a year looks like.
Jesse doesn't point out that he graduated with honors from Ohio Wesleyan University, and that he had a double major. He is always understated when he's teasing or remembering when no one saw his potential.
As a youngster, I mean, I went to various different schoolings, and in those I've, been told that, you'll never amount to anything, you're not smart enough and all of that stuff. And me being the type of person I am, it kind of motivated me.
Jesse began to react against expectations, against what he saw in his chaotic home and neighborhood. Jesse grew up here on 17th Street in Washington, D.C. Drug dealers, some of them relatives, anchored the street corner, and a police camera pointed at Jesse's house where he lived with his grandmother. He was in the middle of what Jesse called a thug mentality.
I just knew whatever was going on around there was not for me.
This was Jesse's survival plan. Stay in his room and play video games, all night if he had to. When his grandmother and uncle started drinking, leave. Walk past the dealers, eyes down. Just get up the block, right here, to the door of the local teen center.
Because around here was where all of the possibilities and opportunities were, just right around the corner from me. And my mindset was, well, if they're available right around here, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get from there to here.
Jesse visited his old neighborhood a lot this summer. On this day, he sits for a bit in front of the old teen center, and two friends saunter by, and then one of his older cousins.
I'm good. How are you?
The cousin pulls out a photo. Her son also graduated. Two black men with college diplomas.
My soul rejoices to know that, okay, y'all did what y'all had to do. Y'all keep doing what you have to do,
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's not where you came from, it's where you're going.
Absolutely.
Where are you going?
Absolutely.
Jesse spent his college years thinking hard about where he came from and how he avoided what seemed like a predestined life of violence and crime. His mother and father died in a murder-suicide. Two favorite cousins went to jail. Others got high every day. Not Jesse.
It was described in me when I was born that I wasn't afraid to go against the grain. I wasn't afraid to not have people accept me fully. And at a very young age, I saw exactly how I didn't want to live and how I didn't want to turn out. So, and, when I made those decisions to do something differently or not go with the grain, I mean, there was times where I was alienated, but at the same time, I expected that. But that didn't deter me from my goals.
Do you think that made you a loner?
Absolutely, to a certain extent. And I've had many years of being a loner, it was a protection mechanism for me.
Jesse knew this in his gut. But still, when he reached Ohio Wesleyan University, he wanted to know why. That led him to choose anthropology and sociology as his major, the study of human behavior. Why, for instance, did Jesse's sister and brother drop out of school, but not Jesse? How was he able to accept the help from his tutors, Terry Ellison and Tony Husted, two white women from a very different world. Terry and Tony watched Jesse as he unraveled this.
It was just so beautiful to watch, you know, that curiosity of learning. And I think so much of what he ended up studying at college helped him.
We have had some incredible discussions of man and the difference between the inheritance and environment and a lot of those things. I mean, he has been able to put his own situation in a scientific context.
The more Jesse read, the more questions surfaced. What about his father, who in one terrible moment killed Jesse's mother and then himself? Is violent behavior passed down? That was how his grandmother and uncles treated Jesse, accusing him of being just like his father.
I mean, there's a lot of different theories on why that was the case. And the one that I feel like is most relevant to me in that situation was because, you know, they were understandably angry. And to a certain extent, I was scapegoated. I was the scapegoat. And so, which is understandable at the time. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating what happened or what took place, but it has allowed me to understand why.
And when it came time to write his college thesis, Jesse chose to study neighborhood teen centers. He argued for more funding and volunteers because they can and do change lives. Now his thesis is packed away with his diplomas and basketball awards.
I'm anxious about finding a job, and because, you know, everything gets real now. Everything has been real, but, you know, you got a lot of stuff you got to be responsible for, and I'm a little bit nervous.
Jesse has a new briefcase and the book Job Hunting for Dummies, gifts from his college girlfriend. She's a kindergarten teacher in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's where Jesse is looking for a job. And when he gets his first paycheck, Jesse will pull out the budget spreadsheets that Tony, who he now calls Mom, made for him.
She did one for, if I was to make $40,000, then $35,000. And then $30,000. And then she has...
Ed, Tony's husband, comes in with the mail and shows Jesse the cover of the New Yorker magazine. A graduate heading out into the world with a rabbit's foot dangling from his cap. And they chuckle together. Yes, there was some luck. Jesse knows this was in the mix, along with the theories of human behavior. So little of his story has been predictable. What if he never walked up to the teen center and met the two women who have now become his family? Here is Terry, his other mother.
Well, and that's it. I mean, if you think about all the basic things you need as a child to develop to your potential, whatever that is, and how many of those things have been missing throughout his young life and really into his early teens, and who had to pull in, you know, who... How did he survive? I mean, that's what I always think to myself. Geez, I mean, you know, how did he make it to us? And good for him.
Terry says, you know, we have to figure this out, how Jesse got to us, so we can make a map for others.
That was independent producer Katie Davis. She lives in Washington, D.C. You can hear her stories about Jesse Jean from 2002 and 2004 at npr.org.